You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Just a fundamental question. Do you believe that illegal entry at America's border should remain a crime?
Well, I haven't thought about that question. I just haven't thought about that question. I think, you know, the president has made clear that we are a country of with the borders and with a concern about national security. I don't know of a proposal to decriminalize but still make it unlawful to enter. I just don't know the answer to that question. I haven't thought about it.
I don't know. I've lost standing. Donovan, it even crossed my mind. This is Feb 23, 2021. The question posed by Senator Josh Hawley in the confirmation hearings for Merrick Garland, Biden's choice to be Attorney General. And said a fundamental question, just a fundamental, you know, basic little fundamental question, little question. Are you in favor, basically, of open borders? That was the kind of the question. And would you make it okay for illegals just come across our border? And the guy that is up for the Attorney General and who at one time had been considered by, in fact, wanted to nominate him and did, I should say, Obama nominating for the Supreme Court. The Senate refused to act at that time. But the same guy says, I never had thought about it. How do you live in this world today, in this nation, from what we've seen over the last numerous years, much less decades, and you never gave a thought to, should we just open our borders to illegals? How do you live and exist in current times with the left constantly pushing that agenda? And he knows that, yes, the current president, he's in favor of trying to extend, but I never really had thought about it. Listen, we're going to get into a lot more. I'm absolutely incensed, angered, and shocked. The guy would try to say, I don't know. Give me a break. He's not the only one facing tough questions, of course. One of them, of course, the other, Becerra, to be the head of Health and Human Services, when he has no experience in Health and Human Services. The Democrats say they want to believe in the science, and they're naming a guy that has done nothing more than been a trial lawyer. Oh, there might be a cabinet position open for Hunter Biden. He has no experience in either one of those either. Why not? Maybe that's what the Biden is going to do this time around. Now, last night, Joe Biden marked the milestone of 500,000+ lives lost in this nation from the coronavirus. Obviously, that hurts a lot of people across our nation. Those who have lost loved ones, those who fear they could be next or might lose a loved one. COVID's still very real. What's being done, how it's being done. And Biden used the occasion to have a candlelight ceremony. I'm not knocking him for doing that, taking time to say, let us pause and see where we are. But what followed that is how the left mainstream, or as I now call them, the state-controlled media, began to react. And when we're talking about loss of lives, still the mainstream, or state-controlled media, SCM, has yet to narrow in and attack Governor Andrew Cuomo and what he's done in the deaths in nursing homes and the scandal. Well, last night, his brother, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, started making some remarks following the Biden candlelighting ceremony. And I thought, oh, my God, he's actually, his opening statement, he's going to say that it's time for us to speak the truth. Here's what he said.
We pay attention. We show respect. We certainly know better than to ignore their pain. But then you look at what we've done all together And that is what we've done, haven't we? 500,000 are gone, and many were not inevitable. These deaths came because of how we denied the reality in this country. We haven't always played up the death count with the urgency that we did in the beginning. Why? Because it seemed to fall on deaf ears, me included. And it was wrong. But tonight, we do what is right.
He's not quite there. You're going to get to hear the rest of it later as we go through today's program. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I always encourage you to let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Not a yes, sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Dead. That's more Americans who've died in 1 year in this pandemic than in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined. That's more lives lost to this virus than any other nation on earth.
Those are the words of President Joe Biden last night at the White House Memorial, a candlelight ceremony honoring and marking a milestone which we never wanted to pass, 500,000 dead because of COVID in this nation. That is nothing to mock, nothing to make fun of, nothing to make slight of. I still have questions and legitimate questions. If all of those listed as COVID deaths are actual COVID deaths and they died of COVID, not died with COVID, which is a big difference. But it means nothing to those who have lost loved ones. And I'm not even trying to have that discussion with them. I'm just saying, it's still a loss of life, and every number that is, quote, a statistic is actually a life that touched many others around them for who knows how long, and now they're gone. And, of course, the Democrats think now that Joe Biden is in charge that we will begin to actually deal with this. But remember, while they continue to claim that Trump was doing nothing but playing politics every step of the way, they have been doing that rapidly already. I mean, they have not even taken a breath from the time they started saying, we came in and we had nothing going. We had no vaccines or anything. And yet, Biden had already gotten his vaccine in December, his first one. Got his second one before he became president, if I recall right. And yet there was no vaccine, that nothing was being done. Obviously, things were being done. And Trump had actually been the first to say, stop some of these flights coming in from China and then later Europe. And yet he was being called, even by Biden, xenophobic, and it won't do any good. And there's been a lot of confusion all the way around. And, of course, a lockdown on the nation that is hurting us severely. And in the midst of it, still another COVID relief package coming forward. This one coming through the House today without a single Republican supporting vote. This is why we need to have control of the House. It passed through the House, Democrats voting for it only, not a single Republican vote, pushing forward a $1.8 trillion COVID relief. You know, when I first wrote that story down, I was making note of it. I slipped. I'm sorry. I just did it then again. I originally wrote 1.8 billion. It's not billion, Larry. It's trillion. And on top of that, once again, I missed the point. It's 1.9 trillion. Hey, listen, 0.1, when you're counting up to trillion, is a lot of money. So it's a $1.9 trillion relief bill. And we still have a lot of money that has been spent from the previous one. We'll get into that in a moment. But again, last night, Joe Biden and his somber approach, fatherly approach, grandfatherly approach, and I'm not knocking that. It calls for that. But he started talking about the actions we need. And here, as he begins to say this, you begin to again hear, you hear locks closing, doors shutting, being locked, more masks being ordered, people being put into fear, because Biden still sees a dark, dark time ahead. The words of Joe Biden, president.
So today, I ask all Americans to remember. Remember those we lost and those who left behind. But as we all remember, I also ask us to act, to remain vigilant, to stay socially distanced, to mask up, get vaccinated when it's your turn. We must end the politics and misinformation that's divided families, communities, and the country.
But we're not. We're not, because the Democrats are building upon that fear. You got to stay masked up. You got to keep your social distance. We got to keep businesses closed. Biden yet to tell teachers' unions, back off. Let us open the schools. Teachers' unions still saying we're not going to open them until we get what we want. And it's not just protection for the teachers they want. They want whatever they want. No, it has nothing to do with COVID, but they don't care. Now, I say the teachers' unions. There are a lot of teachers that do care. They want to be back in the classroom. They want to do the job. They know how valuable they are. They are important to the community, and yet they're being denied. And yet all across the nation, outside blue cities and blue states, we have many school districts open. Many of them are open, and they're doing just fine. But again, when you're trying to push through an agenda, when Biden says, let's get the politics out of it, they're really using politics and fear to push 1.9 trillion COVID relief money. And as I said a moment ago, we still got some that hasn't even been touched from previously. To explain that, here's Republican New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik.
There's still $1 trillion left over that remains unspent from the bipartisan COVID relief packages that we passed in the last Congress. Democrats did not negotiate in good faith with President Trump. They waited until after the election, and now the American people are seeing the results. They have proposed a $1.9 trillion package that is littered with pork barrel spending, that is littered with special interest projects. Only 20% of the bill is even focused on COVID relief, and less than 10% is focused on public health. The other thing that the American people need to be made aware of is the vast majority of the $1.9 trillion won't even be spent this year. It will be in the future.
You get it. You see now, don't you? The long-range plan is not taking care of businesses and people hurting right now, really. And, of course, we're getting mixed messages. We're supposed to follow the science, believe what we're told. The top guy, Dr. Anthony Fauci, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the one considered by the Biden administration and all the Democrats to be the guy of science, when he's speaking what they want him to say. But for right now, they're still leaning on him. And when you begin to listen to his messages, you have to end up listening and you're thinking, well, what did he say?
I think that there will be others coming. And that is when you have a fully vaccinated person and they come into contact with someone who is known to be infected with SARS-CoV-2, they don't have to do the kind of quarantine that we had been recommended.
We do have a good vaccine against. That's more incentive to say, rather than even think about declaring victory and saying, well, we have herd immunity, we're in good shape. We've got to keep pushing and pushing, continue to do the public health measures that we speak about all the time. The uniform wearing of masks, the physical distancing, the avoiding congregate settings. At the same time as we do everything we can to get vaccines into the arms of people as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
Dr. Fauci, Dr. Doom, same thing at this point. Still insisting we're going to have to continue this forever, maybe. He doesn't really use the term forever, but he sees no end in sight. And yet when it comes to just wearing the mask, there's confusion, even when it comes from Dr. Doom / Dr. Fauci.
When will life get back to normal? How long does this last?
You know, it's going to be a matter of, you know, several weeks to few months for sure.
Will we be ripping our masks off and running back to the office? What will day-to-day life look like?
That's a good question, and it's going to depend very much on what the percent or level of efficacy of the vaccine is. I would be very happy with 70-75%.
Yeah, but he moved the goalpost again sometimes, doesn't he? In fact, he has been vaccinated. Dr. Fauci has been vaccinated, and he says, and I'm quoting him, I still do not do dining indoors, and I still do takeout. Do you know what his opening part of that sentence is? Another condemnation, close your restaurants, you cannot open, you cannot do business as usual, or if you do, it's going to be on a percentage basis. His statement again, even though he's had the shot, he's been vaccinated. I still do not do dining indoors. And I want to continue to support the restaurants in my neighborhood that I would normally go to. So that's why he does takeout. Well, he's not really supporting them. The business is able to stay alive a little bit, keep some cooks employed, maybe some people, but somebody to run out to the curb service, deliver your food and whatever. But the overall number of those employed by the restaurant, they don't have any need or job for them. They're not making enough money to also pay them. And again, Dr. Fauci is leading to more confusion. And in fact, in a 60 Minutes interview in March of last year, in March, he said, there are unintended consequences of wearing masks. He said, people keep fiddling with a mask. They keep touching their face. So if you're wearing your mask, you shouldn't be touching your face. Senator Marco Rubio said, Dr. Fauci is a very good public health official. His job is to advise policymakers and inform the public. His job is not to decide what we can do, where we can go, which places can open or close. His job is not to mislead or scare us into doing the right things. New York Congresswoman Stefanik says, here's what we really need.
The American people deserve a COVID relief bill that's focused on making sure that we have the vaccines necessary, distribution to rural communities to get those vaccines to the places that are underserved, making sure schools open now. They should have opened much long ago, but making sure that happens immediately and supporting small businesses to reopen. That is a target COVID relief bill, not these pet projects in Silicon Valley.
And not only through the COVID relief bill, but what we can do as individuals aside from COVID relief monies, what we can do and start living life again and living as Americans. taking precautions that you think necessary for you and your family. You still do that. That's your choice. But then again, do you expect the mainstream media, the state-controlled media, to give you the true story going forward? In the opening monologue, I gave you a tease of CNN's Chris Cuomo. His brother, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, been under severe attack because they were giving misleading and hiding information about the number of nursing home deaths. So last night, after the President Biden did his candlelit service honoring those who had passed because of COVID, here came CNN's Chris Cuomo and started talking about how these deaths became a reality because we denied the reality and we were playing political interest. Wow, I thought he's actually going to call out his brother. Listen, please.
We pay attention. We show respect. We certainly know better than to ignore their pain. But then you look at what we've done all together. And that is what we've done, haven't we? 500,000 are gone. And many were not inevitable. These deaths came because of how we denied the reality in this country. We haven't always played up the death count with the urgency that we did in the beginning. Why? Because it seemed to fall on deaf ears, me included. And it was wrong.
And it was wrong. No, he still didn't call out his brother, did he? No, he didn't. I'll let you hear more of it later in the next 2 hours. Coming up, another issue regarding the Cuomo investigation.
With a weekly load, you can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
With all of these investigations, the Justice Department is open to evidence of fraud, false statements, violations of the law. They normally begin in the appropriate way in the U.S. relevant U.S. Attorney's Office. I don't know any of the facts, but I can guarantee you that somebody with a conflict of interest will not be the person running an investigation of any kind. With all of
those are the words of Merrick Garland. Is Merrick Garland, as he was answering questions in his Senate confirmation hearing, and he was asked, are you going to make sure as an attorney general that Andrew Cuomo and the scandal in New York are properly investigated? And he said, and I'll have to give him credit for this, I don't know all of the facts. I mean, he has not been handling each and every piece of evidence. I'm not going to chastise him for that. But what I'm getting from him still is kind of a, I'll come close to the edge and say, but I'm not going to yet. And he gets a pass to that extent, the fact that he does not know all the details of the Cuomo nursing home scandal. But he's also basically acting like, man, I don't really know, and I mean the things the way it should be done, and it be handled properly. Well, the answer was not good enough for a lot of the senators. And in particular, New York, I should say, not just the senators, but members of Congress in general. And in fact, in watching that confirmation hearing, New York Congresswoman Stefanik, Republican, says it appears to her that if Garland, Merrick Garland, becomes the attorney general, there will really be no final answer and no resolution and no punishment for what happened in New York State by an order of the governor to put COVID patients inside nursing homes and then cover up how many died because of that order. Congresswoman Stefanik.
My response is he is not fit to be the attorney general because he's not reading the basic news. If he hasn't read the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal for the past month, that's on him. He, as the American people are aware, this is a serious corruption scandal at the highest levels of New York state government. We need a much clearer response from the nominee to be attorney general, making sure that there is an independent, apolitical, fair investigation.
Yep, that's what we need. But he really danced around on that. But if you thought he was vague on that question, in the next hour, I want you to hear how he responded to Senator Josh Hawley, Missouri, Republican, when he was asking, do you believe we should have open borders? Will you help basically wipe out our border separating us from Mexico? You definitely want to hear what Merrick Garland had to say about that, because if he's going to be Attorney General, I want to know where he stands on that point. Now, again, reference what's happened in New York with the deaths under Andrew Cuomo as governor. An inquiry is underway. Members of the New York State Legislature, including Democrats, are talking about impeaching the governor, and they're planning on moving forward with it. And as again, I'm talking about Democrats. Now, a lot of Democrats in New York State are not fans of Cuomo. They've always said he's been a bully, and that's just the way he operates. And apparently, no one is surprised when they start talking about how he tries to bully everyone around. If you recall, he said, we've got to have more help here, and we need it. And remember, President Trump stepped forward and said, look, we will send in less than 15 days. The president got our two hospital ships up and running, one to the West Coast to help California, the other one pulling into Pier 90 in Manhattan. Crowd gathering and cheering as the USS Comfort in New York at President Trump's direction was ready. And yet Cuomo didn't use that either. He sent the elderly into nursing homes. The Comfort left New York empty and under, or maybe perhaps never utilized. So there needs to be an investigation. And how did Cuomo get to this point? You look at how the mainstream media, state-controlled media as it is now, continued to boost his image and talk about this is our savior. Trump is the devil. Andrew Cuomo is our savior. Fact, fiction, true, or myth? You want to hear our next guest and his opinion. Standing up by right now.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no better man. This ain't no place for no hero. Come home.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So in the previous segment, we were talking about Chris Cuomo on CNN came. I thought he was going to call out his brother, Andrew Cuomo, at one point, but he didn't. And you'll hear more of that coming up in the next hour. But this whole story about Andrew Cuomo and how he's been basically praised, adored, sainted by the mainstream media, the state-controlled media as it exists now. How did that ever happen? Well, he's a Democrat, Larry. That's it. They're all leftists. Well, that's part of it. But it goes deeper than that story. And joining us now is Christopher Bedford with The Federalist. Been trying to get him booked for this program for some time now on this very subject. Chris, glad to have you on board, sir.
It's great to be here.
So I was looking at the piece that you wrote, and this came out, I guess, about a week ago now, because we've had trouble connecting. Andrew Cuomo didn't create the myth of Andrew Cuomo. Corporate media did. Go ahead, sir.
Now, it's been really frustrating to watch this unfolding, to read Politico or to read the New York Times or any of these papers covering this. You'd think that they had no responsibility to discover the truth, where they're saying Andrew Cuomo won an Emmy for his leadership. Andrew Cuomo literally wrote the book on COVID leadership. So
and he did write a book. He did write a book. You got to give him credit for that. He wrote it
in
October. He said in October, basically, leadership and COVID crisis as if he'd solved it by October.
And I admit that I bought his incredibly farcical
poster.
Are you
kidding me? I hope the company paid for it, or did you put it on a business expense, I hope?
I thought this poster is going to be going to be darkly funny someday when it comes out that what we've been reporting for months and months and months has been ignored by his brother, that's been ignored by the Emmys, it's been ignored by the New York Times, turns out to be true. This is going to be an example on how not to act for future leaders. That's exactly what's ended up happening with Cuomo. But they're all pretending that, oh, we were tricked. I mean, if they had brought one half or one tenth of the amount of journalism they brought to shaming Ted Cruz, attacking his family, leaking text messages, following flight patterns into the story of Cuomo killing their parents in their own state, then this actually could have been put an end to and exposed way before. But I think they had to wait until Joe Biden was in the White House before they felt comfortable turning it on Cuomo.
Well, the other point is there are Democrats that are inside the state legislature in New York, Congressman Kim being one of them. They made it very clear that, you know, they don't like Cuomo anyway. De Blasio doesn't like Cuomo. And so now maybe it's the idea is all the rats are leaving the ship or whatever. But now they're beginning to turn on, and they're all acknowledging now he's always been a bully, and everybody knows it. You know, I've never seen that reported either anywhere by any of the, quote, big-name media groups.
Yeah, they've ignored it, and people are saying, I was on a Fox program with a Democratic analyst who said that this is an example of Democrats holding themselves accountable, and I had to laugh at her and say, you know, we've been reporting on this.
Right.
On the story and conservative radio and conservative television and conservative newspapers for months and months and months. It's happened. The New York Post was onto it early, as was the Federalist, the Daily Caller. And, you know, his story has kept on changing. At first, he said he didn't know anything about the order. Then he tried to blame the federal government. He blamed Donald Trump. Then he said that he didn't sign the order and it's all very complicated. Then he blamed the media. He's even blamed his fellow governors. He said, quote, you have 45 other states to point fingers at first. At any point, these reporters could have gone back and said, you know, this is clearly not true. But they didn't. They didn't even begin to devote the resources to it. And they created this guy. They had him on the media. They called him a hero. There are really embarrassing, cringeworthy news segments you can go back through where they call him New York's boyfriend and all of our boyfriend and an example for leadership. He was held up as the exact opposite of Donald Trump in every way. And it turned out he was, because he was actually not leading very well in this during this at all.
You're listening to Christopher Bedford with The Federalist. You point out in your article about that March 25th order when Cuomo ordered the COVID-19 patients into elderly care facilities, barred the staff from even testing them before they reentered. And 9 days later, he pushed a provision barring the families from suing nursing homes over COVID deaths, hiding that in as you pointed out, a monstrous spending bill. And of course, since then, he's also now turned around and blamed the nursing home staff for anybody that got sick in the nursing homes, and even visitors when there were no visitors going into the nursing homes. Everyone gets the blame but Andrew Cuomo.
It reminds me of our governor nearby in Virginia, who, when he was caught either wearing blackface or dressed up like a Klansman, his answer to the public was, well, I'm going to make all of your kids take racial sensitivity courses. He punished every other kid in the state. It's like, imagine if you could do that when you were in high school and you got detention and you say, you know, everyone else stay behind. Sorry, everyone. And then you went home. That's what these governors do. They just go after and the press is trying to disassociate themselves. Joe Biden himself called Andrew Cuomo an exemplar of leadership and someone he wants to be like as president. Now even the White House is backing away, saying, well, we support governors and we want to give governors the resources they have because no one wants to stand next to them. But conservatives shouldn't assume that this level of accountability, well, necessary justice for all the people who've been hurt, for the people Janice Dean's in-laws, who she's been fighting for. They will get justice. The next governor, when they get rid of him, is going to be probably the Democratic Attorney General or someone like her, who is going to be exactly more of the same for New York.
Well, but she is the one who came forward and said their investigation found that the nursing home stats were wrong, that they had misled the public and the state assembly and federal investigators on how many died in the nursing homes. So did she do that just being fair and transparent and doing her due diligence as an attorney general, or putting feathers in her political hat?
I would like to think it's the former, but I'm suspicious it is the latter. based on the timing, you know, it's hard to know because these investigations are done behind closed doors, as investigations typically must be in order to investigate at all. And we don't have full access to her timeline and what she was able to pull together, what she knew and when she knew it. But based on the timeline, based on now what this means for her future, and based on the way other Democrats who've long hated Andrew Cuomo, either publicly like with de Blasio or privately like some of the assemblymen coming forward, I do worry that it's political. And if you're a member, if you live in New York City, then I don't know how much, or New York State, I don't know how much respite you're going to get from this.
Well, also, you look at Merrick Garland, the nominee, Biden's nominee for attorney general. During his nomination hearings, he was asked about the Cuomo investigation, and he basically said, well, you know, that it would be carried out properly as it should be. At some point, it might come to our level. And he said, but I will guarantee you, no one who's the principal in the center of the investigation should be investigating themselves. But I saw him basically doing a little two-step dance, not quite committing that, yeah, we will make sure the investigation is carried out, even though it would target Andrew Cuomo.
Yes, there was a lot of, I mean, there's always going to be two-stepping going on when you're talking in front of senators who are trying to either already have made up their mind to confirm you or maybe to oppose you. You always get that. But I saw an incredible amount of two-stepping yesterday from Merrick Garland and a little bit this morning, just giving answers that people wanted to, whether he would say on every single question that he would investigate any kind of right-wing attackers or any kind of white supremacists or this or that. But if you asked him about Antifa or the riots, he would say, well, we don't investigate ideology.
Yeah,
it was back and forth the whole time. And just the fact that he had said that he was not willing to commit to releasing the Durham report to the public when it was completed, that should be enough for Republican senators to vote against him unanimously.
There's also the question that he could not answer when Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri was asking about his belief, do we really want to keep our border intact? And we're going to deal with that in the second hour. But again, back to Cuomo. And as you pointed out in your article, again, titled Andrew Cuomo Didn't Create the Myth of Andrew Cuomo, the corporate media did. You pointed out that hospital ship, as I was saying before you joined us, was sent in, the USS Comfort, to New York because Cuomo said we're going to need it for extra beds. And not one of the nursing home patients that were left from a hospital went to that hospital ship. They were still put into the nursing homes. So he never did utilize it anyway, and he clearly could have. But again, the finger of blame does not come back to me.
And the notorious Javits Center, too, which was turned into that massive field hospital, the huge fanfare. It was barely occupied. So there was room to find for people. This was not something like he has said that he was forced to do. He made the decision conscientiously to do what on its face, even when we didn't know very much about COVID yet, like we didn't really understand it in March, on its face seemed like a very, very, very stupid thing to do, to send people who had been deathly ill, who had not been tested, into a place filled with the frail and the elderly who were cut off from their family. On its face, it's just foolish. And he did it anyways. He didn't use other options. And he should be finally held accountable, but we'll see. I don't hold my breath for that.
Yeah, and it's certainly not going to happen when it comes to CNN and his brother Chris Cuomo on there as an anchor. Again, I want to thank you for your time, Christopher Bedford of The Federalist. We will do it again, sir.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad to have you, sir. Again, his article is in The Federalist titled, Andrew Cuomo Didn't Create the Myth of Andrew Cuomo, the Corporate Media Did. Now, here's something else regarding Andrew Cuomo and the media coverage. You heard him mention, Bedford mentioning the Senator Cruz story, the trip to Cancun. Cruz says he's being targeted right now, not because of what he did, but trying to look away from Cuomo. Look away from Cuomo. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the media is suffering from Trump withdrawal, where they've attacked Trump every day for 4 years. They don't know what to do, so they obsessed over my taking my girls to the beach. I got to tell you, today I asked Merrick Garland if he would open an investigation into Andrew Cuomo's shameful policies. A senior Cuomo aide admitted they lied. They covered up the policies that sent COVID-positive people into nursing homes and may well have resulted in the deaths of thousands or tens of thousands. Merrick Garland wouldn't commit to investigate it, and the media won't even cover it.
Those are the words of Texas Senator Ted Cruz talking about how the media will not focus on Andrew Cuomo, but considered the fact that he took his children to Cancun when Texas got hit with that freeze and power shutdown. That was a bigger story. There were deaths in Texas during that, and yeah, it's a big story, but it still does not rank as a bigger story. It's short-lived. It's already over. I want to come back to that in a moment, but there's some breaking news I need to put in front of you. This crossing, while we were on the air earlier in the interview with Christopher Bedford of the Federalist, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods injured in a serious car crash today. According to the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, he had to be extricated using the jaws of life. Now, they call that, of course, the device they put in to actually pry a car open if it's all crumpled up and to get doors open or just to open the part of the car where normally you wouldn't have an opening just to get in and get the person out. They are saying they had to use the jaws of life to get him out. They are not giving any details at this point. He was taken to the hospital. Full extent of injury is not known. It may be updated at the top by our national news, or I will also look to update it in our news and commentary at the beginning of the next hour. Again, Tiger Woods in a car wreck, apparently pretty severe, at least the wreck itself was. Now back to this issue of Senator Ted Cruz talking about how you had all of these folks rushing forward on the left. Look at Ted Cruz. He's leaving. He's leaving the state of Texas while they're in the midst of a freezing winter, taking his kids down to Cancun. Now, apparently, the kids were already on school break. They were actually holding school in Texas, believe it or not. And they were going to go on a spring break to Cancun anyway. And so he thought, well, I'll fly down with them. And, of course, the optics immediately got hit. It doesn't look good for the senator of Texas to leave his home state in the midst of a crisis, and it was a crisis. And I think, looking back, Cruz would probably say, I probably shouldn't have done it, but there's really nothing he could have done by living and staying there in the cold of the dark than he could do in Cancun. But aside from that, it's the optics. I understand that. He understands it. But the other point being, it was a big deal to the mainstream media that was still not looking at and paying attention to Chris Cuomo and how he handled the nursing home deaths, and still is not doing so. Now, you got to tell me, riddle me this. Which is more important? And lives were lost both in the Texas storm and COVID in New York nursing homes. I've seen a number maybe as high as 40 to 50 total from that winter storm, and that's not all in Texas, and how they died, I don't know, and it's still a loss. Not trying to minimize any of it. But let's say all 50 were in Texas, and related heat deaths, people freezing to death or whatever. That's tragic, and yes, we need to know, and they are investigating why that happened in Texas. Republicans say we were forced to rely too much on these green windmills that AOC and the rest of us, they wanted to push and make our state rely on it because a lot of the state, in Austin anyway, the legislature is blue. So they thought that would be a great idea, and it was, but they never winterized the things like they do up north. And that was a bad mistake. But then you've got, we know, 15,000 plus dead in nursing homes in New York. Which should get the higher coverage. Cover both of them. I'm not saying you ignore either one. Don't ignore the fact that Cruz left and went to Cancun if you want to. Go ahead. Do the story. But how do you justify that you are a legitimate news operation when you do that story and yet you ignore the story involving Cuomo and the nursing home scandals? You can't. You can't. And if you're legitimate, you're going to do the lead story first, You're not going to bury it. That would be Cuomo and the nursing home scandal and what's being done and what should be done. The Ted Cruz story, make it part of your story too. I don't care. Just doesn't bother me one way or the other. But that would be a legitimate journalistic. Oh, I did it. I used that word they don't know. Journalistic. Journalism. They don't know those words. My bad. They just don't know. They couldn't even begin to spell it. They think journalism starts with CNN. That's what they think. Well, in the next hour, we're going to spend more time on another appointee that Biden wants to handle our nation. That would be the Attorney General, what he's willing to do to protect our border or not. Oh, and before we go, you need to know this. There's an Institutional Investor's Annual Rich List just published yesterday. The pandemic was really good for the wealthiest hedge fund managers. The top 25 hedge fund bosses made $32 billion, that's a B, $32 billion in the midst of the pandemic. It's always good for somebody, I guess. All right, we've got a lot to cover in the next hour. Make sure you stay with us. Please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.